Welcome to What's Poppin'. This week, my guest is Bob Sterling. Bob, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks a lot for having me here.
Bob, how long have you lived in the area?
My parents moved to Fremont in 1960, so I was 2.5 years old. So
okay.
I lived very briefly in San Francisco on Potrero Hill. I have some vague memories of looking out and seeing the lights in the city and all that, but other than that, it's been here.
Been here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were in San Francisco for 2 years, is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
And you remember part of that?
I remember there was a window
that
if you looked out, you could actually see the lights on the Bay Bridge.
Oh, okay.
So somehow that image just kind of got seared.
Yeah.
And then my parents told me that one time, I was probably about 1.5 years old, just learning how to walk, that I decided that it would be a cool idea to go start walking around on the roof because you
could
jump on the window.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually spent 2 years of my life in Madison before we moved to Milwaukee. I actually do remember a little bit about that house. It is unusual. It's very fuzzy, but there are like, I can't really describe it, but I have like fuzzy memories of that house when I was 2 years old.
Yeah. I still have the address. So every once in a while we would like drive past there. It is.
So you've been in Fremont basically your whole life,
though. Yes.
Yeah. What brought your family here?
Well, my dad got out of the Army. Mm. They had the GI Bill.
Yeah.
So basically he could buy a house for $99 down.
Can you imagine that now in Fremont?
And they paid $17.5 for that house in 1960.
Wow.
It was a brand new house. It was a new development, like most of Fremont at that time.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, literally, I think almost 100 times
and
over.
That's the house that you and Marianne have now taken.
That's
over,
the house
right?
we moved into.
Yeah, yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Thank you.
Yeah, super nice.
At that time, of course, you know, I don't know what the average wage was.
Yeah.
Everything is sort of relative, but still, it was not so outrageous that the average wage earner could go out and buy a house.
Get a house.
That's what you just did, you know.
So you've been in Fremont pretty much your whole life and super close by to Prince of Peace. How'd you get to Prince of Peace?
Started out, Marianne and I became members at Our Savior Lutheran back in 1982. And we were actually looking for a place to have our wedding. We weren't members of any church at that time.
Okay.
So one of Marianne's friends got married in that church. We really liked it.
Yeah.
Went over, met the pastor. Had this, you know, very kind of informal conversation, but then he asked the right question. Says, "So, why do you want to get married in a church?"
Yeah,
and that kind of led to the premarital counseling, and over a period of months, we both kind of came to faith, and we were there all the way up until the time when Prince of Peace and Our Savior merged
together. Okay, so I imagine you guys lived over that way then.
At the time, actually, we lived over closer to Niles.
Oh, okay.
There's a little condo complex over on Cherry Lane.
Yeah.
So we were there for, you know, probably 25 years or so before we moved to where we are now.
Okay. So you wanted to get married, talk to a pastor. He asked the right questions. That led to premarital counseling, and that led to you guys believing in Jesus.
Right. I think Marianne had it already a little bit in her.
Yeah.
Her parents were sort of not really super active members in a congregational church over on Blakeout. My parents weren't really connected at all.
Anyway.
My dad was Catholic, not by choice.
Yeah.
Got raised in orphanages and that kind of stuff. Mm. And my mom was kind of ambivalent about the whole thing most of her life.
Okay. So then Our Savior was your place. Sounds like for years you were at Our
Savior.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much from 82 to...
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we're happy to have you folks with us, Prince of Peace.
Yeah,
now, so.
We love being here.
A lot of you folks may not know this, but Bob was a music teacher for a very long time in the Fremont area. High school, right?
Right, 41 years at Kennedy High School.
Yeah, and now he actually does some music teaching here at Prince of Peace at our school. We're very thankful for him. He retired and we put him back to work, which leads into my next question. What is one of the things you like most about your job?
At Prince of Peace, I really like the fact that just the working environment is amazing. I mean, everybody's very friendly, very supportive. I get to work aside Barbara Edner, who is an amazing music teacher as well. So I never had in my previous part of my career, I never had the luxury of having a second person in the classroom with me.
Oh, really?
Where I could actually take the band, divide it in half, say, "Hey, Barbara, why don't you work with the flutes and saxophones and I'll work with the brass and percussion." Could never do that.
Yeah.
Also, never had the option of saying, hey, you know what? I really would like to take a little vacation in October or April.
Yeah.
And Barbara, can you cover for me for the next couple of sessions? And, yeah. and it works out great.
It's a great retirement job for it's you. It's what I'm hearing. It's like, you're never leaving. That's great.
It's a perfect retirement job.
It's wonderful. We love having you here. If you could only play one instrument the rest of your life, what would it be and why?
I think probably euphonium, which if, for people who aren't familiar with what that is, it's kind of like a tuba,
okay,
but much smaller. It's much more commonly used in concert bands. You don't see it much in orchestras.
Now, was this the instrument you were playing the other day here at Prince of Peace?
Yes.
You were practicing?
Right.
Okay.
So I started out in fourth grade. I started out on the trumpet, mm-hmm. and then the band director had me move to baritone horn, which is basically a, you know, a little bit less involved version of a euphonium. And I stayed with that all the way through college.
Really?
And then when I started teaching at Kennedy High School, mm-hmm. I met up with another guy who was not a music teacher, but he was a real avid fan of traditional jazz music, Dixieland.
Okay.
He said, hey, Bob, do you play much tuba? I said, not really, but I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
So from that point forward, basically from about 1983 till now, when I'm actually playing, more often than not, I'm playing tuba.
Really?
When I'm here, I'm usually doing trumpet or you know, occasionally euphonium or trombone. But
we don't have a lot of tuba asked here during the Prince of Peace.
Not much, although I would like to form a kind of a brass ensemble within the band classes at Prince of Peace.
That'd be
with
great.
The upper grades.
Yeah.
But it we're not there right now. So yeah,
that would be great, especially for like high festival days,
right.
High holidays. Yeah. It'd be wonderful. So do you play out at all anymore?
When I play out, it's pretty much with my Dixieland group called Mission Gold. And so most of the time we will play different jazz clubs around the area. And they're basically, these jazz clubs basically focus on that traditional jazz music, basically music from very, very early 20th century up till about the 1930s.
Yeah.
And so it does tend to, you see a certain demographic.
Yeah.
The challenge is that demographic is very slowly fading away. So those clubs are going away.
Yeah.
Although there are, and some of the universities, there are a couple of these groups that have sort of sprung up because they've discovered that it's just really fun music.
So jazz-wise, tuba doesn't have a whole lot of jazz. Are you just keeping the rhythm and sort of like...
Mostly I tend to lock down the beat.
Yeah.
I mean, occasionally I get to play a solo,
but basically the drum
not
player.
Too right? I am. I am. I mean, in a Dixieland group, you tend to have a tuba, a banjo, sometimes a piano if you're playing indoors, and a drummer, and that's your rhythm section. And then we play a style that's called... It's basically more of a style of West Coast jazz that evolved in the 50s.
Okay.
So you would have two cornet players in the front, trombone player, and then somebody who plays reeds who will switch between clarinet and soprano sax. Harmonically, much more simple than the more contemporary styles of jazz.
Okay.
But it's mostly intended for dance.
I was gonna say, it moves.
It moves.
Yeah.
It's dance music.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, if you see really young kids and they listen to this music, they get
up and start. They can't help but move, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's awesome. Well, Bob, I appreciate the fact that you made time after coming back from Germany and adjusting back to the time zone to be on the podcast.
It was
thank you.
Great. Really glad to be here.